Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're really getting into a fascinating case, Stoops v. Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah, this one's definitely got some interesting angles.
It really does. And for anyone listening who's maybe heading into law, this is, well, pretty critical stuff. It really gets to the core of who can even bring a lawsuit under the TCPA, that's the Telephone Consumer Protection Act.
Exactly. And it explores, you know, the limits of that law in a way that's almost counterintuitive.
Right. Because the big question is, can someone, like, deliberately set themselves up to get these unwanted calls?
The very calls the law tries to stop.
And then sue based on getting them. It sounds, well, a bit strange.
It does, like a legal setup almost. So we've been looking at various case analyses, briefs, trying to piece together how this all played out.
And our mission today is basically to boil all that down for you. We want to pull out the key takeaways, understand the court's thinking, and really see why Stoops matters for understanding the TCPA.
Okay, let's jump in. The facts here are pretty unique. We're talking about the plaintiff, Melody Stoops.
Yeah, she wasn't just someone annoyed by a few robocalls.
Not at all. The court record shows she went out and bought, I think it was over 35 cell phones. All with Florida area codes.
Over 35 phones.
All right.
And this wasn't like for her family or anything. Our sources are really clear on this.
No, she actually admitted it in court. Her sole purpose was to receive calls that might violate the TCPA.
So she could sue.
Exactly. So she could file lawsuits. She wasn't trying to avoid spam. She was actively trying to, well, manufacture claims.
She even called it a business, right? Like she was building a business based on suing companies under the TCPA.
That's right. And she kept these detailed logs, you know, tracking every call that came in, looking for potential violations. She wasn't screening calls. She was inviting them.
Okay. So she's got all these phones ready and waiting. And the calls that triggered the lawsuit came from Wells Fargo.
Correct. Wells Fargo made about 85 calls to these numbers Stoops had picked up.
And here's the kicker, right? Those numbers weren't random.
No. They had previously belonged to actual Wells Fargo customers, so Wells Fargo was likely trying to reach their actual customers.
So you have this law, the TCPA, designed to protect people from unwanted calls.
Mm-hmm.
But the person suing seems to have, well, wanted them, actively sought them out even.
Which leads right to the central legal question the court had to grapple with.
Which was?
Basically, does someone who intentionally, you know, creates a situation that leads to a potential TCPA violation, Do they actually have the legal right to sue? Do they have standing?
Standing. Okay. I remember that term vaguely from like day one of law school. It involves Article 3 of the Constitution.
Exactly. Article 3 sets the baseline for federal courts. To bring a case, you need standing. And that usually means three things.
Okay, break it down for us.
Sure. First, you need an injury, in fact. That means a real concrete harm, not something hypothetical.
Okay, real harm. Got it.
Second, that harm has to be traceable to what the defendant did. There needs to be a causal link.
Makes sense. The defendant caused the harm.
And third, redressability. A court ruling in your favor has to actually be able to fix the problem or compensate for the harm.
Injury, causation, redressability.
Okay.
So how did that apply to Stoops?
Well, the court really zoomed in on that first part, injury, in fact. Did Stoops actually suffer a real harm in the way the TCPA cares about?
And what was the conclusion there? Because she did get the calls.
Right, but this is where her motivation was key. The court basically said, look, she wanted these calls. They weren't an invasion of her privacy. They weren't a nuisance. They were, you know, the raw material for her business.
So not the kind of harm the TCPA was meant to prevent.
Precisely. There's a really direct quote from the opinion that sums it up. Her privacy wasn't invaded. She wanted those calls.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty blunt.
It really cuts to the chase. If you're welcoming something, it's hard to argue it caused you the kind of injury the law protects against, like annoyance or invasion of privacy.
Okay, that tracks. But what about the money? I mean, she spent money buying all those phones. Isn't that an economic injury?
That came up too. But the court viewed the cost of the phones as self-inflicted. It wasn't an injury caused by Wells Fargo's calls.
It was part of her strategy to get the calls and sue. Not a consequence of the call.
Exactly. It was an investment in her litigation plan, not an economic harm stemming from unwanted contact.
Okay. So no real injury in the eyes of the court. Now, you also mentioned something called the zone of interest. That sounds legalistic.
It is a bit, yeah. It falls under something called prudential standing.
Prudential standing. Different from the Article 3 constitutional standing.
Yeah, think of it like this. Article 3 standing is the absolute minimum constitutional requirement you must have an injury. Prudential standing involves additional sort of judge-made guidelines about whether a court should hear a case, even if the minimum injury is there.
Okay, like extra hurdles.
Kind of. The zone of interests test asks, is the plaintiff the type of person or entity that Congress actually intended to protect when it passed this specific law?
Gotcha. So for the TCPA, who is in that zone?
Well, the sources are pretty clear, and the court agreed. The TCPA is meant to protect consumers, people who are genuinely bothered by intrusive, unwanted telemarketing calls and texts.
Which sounds very different from what Stoops was doing.
Very different. Again, the court had a strong quote here. Congress didn't intend the TCPA to be a business opportunity.
That says it all, really.
It does. And if you think about why the TCPA was passed, Senator Hollings called robocalls a scourge, an intrusive invasion of privacy. That's the problem Congress wanted to fix.
Protecting people from that daily annoyance and privacy invasion.
Right. Not facilitating a commercial venture based on collecting violations. Stoops' goals were just outside that intended zone of protection.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It connects the who can sue question back to the why was this law even passed question.
Precisely.
Now, our notes also mention the manufactured claims doctrine. How does that fit in?
It fits perfectly, really. It's this idea that courts generally don't look kindly on injuries that someone intentionally creates just so they have a reason to sue.
Like setting a trap.
Kind of, yeah. Setting a legal trap. The court saw Stoops buying all those phones, wanting the calls specifically because they might violate the TCPA. They saw that as manufacturing a claim.
And courts don't want to encourage that.
No. The legal system is meant to address genuine disputes and harms, not scenarios engineered purely for litigation. So the court rejected that approach.
Okay. So putting it all together, this case seems to give us a clearer test for standing in these kinds of TCPA situations. I think you mentioned a three-part test.
Yeah, you can sort of distill it down to three key questions based on Stoops. First, is there a real harm here to privacy or economic interests that the TCPA actually cares about?
Okay, step one, real TCPA-type harm.
Second, is the plaintiff's reason for being in court aligned with the TCPA's purpose? Are they acting like the consumer Congress wanted to protect?
Step two, aligns with the law's goal.
And third, was this whole claim basically cooked up just for the lawsuit? Was it manufactured?
Step three, wasn't manufactured.
Right. And if the answer is no to any of those, if there's no real TCPA harm, or the plaintiff's goals don't align, or the claim was manufactured, then they likely don't have standing.
That's a really helpful framework. So thinking bigger picture, why is this decision so important? What are the broader ripple effects?
Well, it's pretty significant for preventing abuse of the TCTA's statutory damages. Those damages can add up fast, $500, $1,500 per call.
Yeah, 85 calls times even $500. That's real money.
Exactly. Without a ruling like Stoops, you could see a whole cottage industry spring up, people trying to game the system just like she did.
So this helps keep the focus on the law's actual purpose.
Right. It emphasizes that the intent behind the law matters, not just whether a technical violation occurred on paper. It stops the TCPA from becoming, you know, a lottery ticket for people manufacturing claims and keeps it as a shield for consumers who are genuinely being harassed.
Protects the integrity of the act.
Okay.
And just to circle back quickly on that standing distinction you made, constitutional versus prudential. Can you give us that quick difference again?
Sure. So Article 3, constitutional standing, is the must-have. You absolutely must show a concrete injury, causation, redressability to get into federal court. It's the basic entry ticket.
Non-negotiable.
Right. Prudential standing, including the zone of interest test, is more like the court asking, okay, you have a ticket, but are you really the kind of person this particular law was meant to help? It's about judicial self-restraint and making sure the right plaintiffs are bringing the right claims under the right statutes.
Ah, okay. So even if Stoops technically got calls, maybe meeting a super low bar for injury, her claim wasn't the kind of claim the TCPA was designed for, putting her outside the prudential zone of interest.
That's a great way to put it. Her motivation put her outside the zone.
Got it. Okay, so wrapping this up for our listeners, especially the law students out there, what's the big takeaway message from Stoops v. Wells Fargo?
I think the core lesson is pretty straightforward.
Yep.
You can't deliberately invite harm that a law tries to prevent and then expect the courts to reward you for it.
Yeah, the law isn't there to be gamed.
Exactly. The TCPA is for consumers with legitimate privacy issues caused by unwanted calls, not for entrepreneurs looking to profit from manufactured violations. Purpose matters. Intent matters.
It really drives home that you need to look beyond just the black letter of the law to the spirit and purpose behind it. And it shows how fundamental that standing doctrine is.
Absolutely. It forces that critical question, who is this law really for, and does this plaintiff fit?
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Stoops v. Wells Fargo is definitely one of those cases that makes you think hard about how laws work in practice.
It really is. A great case study on standing, legislative intent, and the limits of statutory claims.
So here's a final thought to chew on, especially for the future lawyers listening. This whole idea of manufactured claims, we saw it here with the TCPA.
Mm-hmm.
But where else might it pop up? Think about other laws that have statutory damages. Could similar issues arise? Could people try to, you know, engineer violations in other contexts?
That's a really interesting question to consider. Definitely food for thought.
Definitely. Something to keep in the back of your mind as you explore different areas of law. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on this deep dive.